am sorry. Two words I always think after you're gone.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Infants on Thrones. My name is Tom Perry, and this particular episode is kind of a lost episode. The last time that I had modified it was in January of 2013. So, yeah, it's like 4+ years old. A little background on this episode. It was the beginning of a series that I wanted to do on apologies, forgiveness, and grudges. Anyway, without any further ado, hope you guys enjoy it.
Okay. Yes. Okay. You're listening to Infants on Thrones with my dad.
This is Infants on Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the core.
I'm gonna bite you in the face. I wanna apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm here, Dad.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Tom. It's great to be back doing another episode for Infants on Thrones. So let's talk apologies, shall we? So the reason why I wanted to do a podcast about apologies is because I have my own personal demons about apologies, about offering apologies, about needing people that have hurt me or offended me to apologize to me. And in a lot of ways, this was kind of cathartic and it was therapeutic for me to be able to go through this process, to really self-analyze myself in the process of apologizing. And the other reason that I wanted to do a podcast on apologies was that I started to talk to my father and started to analyze my own behavior and my own reactions around grudges and forgiveness. And I started to realize that this apology, forgiveness, and grudges thing was much bigger than just one podcast. So I decided that I wanted to break it up into three different podcasts. And so hence, here's the apology podcast. And then I'm going to also release in the future two additional podcasts, one on forgiveness and then one on grudges. So my next move was to broaden my already narrow view. So I quickly spoke to a few trusted friends of mine to get their perspectives on apologies. This is my best friend and my dear wife, Christina.
Hey, babe.
Hey, popsicle.
We recorded this at night, so I was shivering at the time she actually said that. So I asked her what her thoughts were on apologies in the hopes that her answers would broaden my perspective and also bring me some additional insight.
How would you define an apology?
An apology is, and how I would define it, someone truly admitting that they're sorry for the wrong that they've done against you. Heartfelt apology that's has substance to it.
So it's more than just someone saying that they're sorry?
Yeah, it's more than just saying I'm sorry. It's a verbal, body language, heartfelt gesture of true apology. And you can tell it that they mean their apology.
I also took the opportunity to ask my oldest daughter, Briley, who's 14 years old, these same questions.
How would you define an apology?
An apology. Honest? Well, I guess that's more the person giving it. An honest, outward... a person saying their honest feelings about... Well, no, that's a different thing.
Would you define it as just saying I'm sorry?
Someone coming to terms. Well, yeah, it would be a sorry. Saying it, coming to terms, depending on the thing, saying they were wrong. I guess it would be, yeah, them saying they're sorry honestly. An apology is not where brother and sister fighting, I'm sorry! That's not an apology. An apology is more admitting you did wrong.
Or admitting it. And meaning it.
And in meaning it and asking for forgiveness.
So if they say, I'm sorry, they have to mean it. And then they also have to ask for forgiveness. Like, I'm sorry, mean it, and then will you forgive me? Like that?
Well, more they can just imply it. It doesn't have to just be, will you forgive me? It can just be, I'm sorry, and then it leaves it open for the other person to say, well, I forgive you, or
okay.
For there to be an acknowledgement reached.
So why do so many of us find it so difficult to offer up an apology? Well, one reason is that in order to effectively apologize, we need to admit fault and error. And then we encounter that uncomfortable feeling of guilt, and it also means that we have to take a blow to our own ego and our self-esteem.
Do you find it easy or difficult to admit fault or to apologize?
Nobody likes being wrong, so it's admitting that you're wrong or to apologize for something that you've done wrong is probably the hardest things to do, because you don't want to be wrong. You don't want to be in the wrong. You don't want to admit that you were wrong. So.
Are you one of those people? Don't like to admit they're wrong?
I have a hard time admitting when I'm wrong, but it's... What do they say? It makes you a better person if you can, and it used to be really hard to admit when I was wrong, but it's been in the last few years it's gotten easier to admit when you're wrong. Or when I'm wrong, if I've made a mistake, I'll admit that if I've screwed up. Because, you know, I have.
Do you find it easy or difficult to admit fault and apologize?
Oh, it is really hard because I am a stubborn person. I think I know who I got it from, but... I am extremely stubborn, and I hate it when I'm wrong, because I have a good image of myself, and it feels like when I'm admitting I'm wrong, it's like, well, if I'm wrong now, how many more times am I going to be wrong? How am I going to keep this image that I'm a smart person when I got 5 things wrong on a test, or whatever? But admitting I'm wrong is really hard, especially when I really think that I was right, and then
why is it hard? I'm curious. Why is it hard?
It's an image of pride.
Oh, so it's like a blow to your ego?
Yeah, it's very tough blow to my ego.
Okay.
But sometimes I can just, if like I realize it's hurt someone's feelings, I can just think about it and go, I was wrong. That was not good of me to do. I need to go and apologize. Depending on the case. Sometimes they're like, but I was right. I mean, why do I need to apologize? I mean, I was right. They were wrong. They need to apologize. But sometimes in me saying that, it's my fault and I need to apologize.
Okay. Let's get back to me for a second. Okay, let's talk about the apology thing in relation to me. So, I really didn't think that my behavior of expecting an apology was too far off. I didn't think it was unreasonable. In fact, I thought it was the norm. And one of those reasons is because I feel like I'm a pretty forgiving type of person. And I also feel like I'm the kind of person that offers up an apology pretty readily and pretty freely. And so, once I come to the realization that I may have wronged someone, I find myself in a situation where I quickly offer an apology, and I offer it freely and sincerely. And so one of the natural consequences of that behavior is I expect an apology in return. So if I'm the kind of person where when I realize that I've wronged somebody and I offer up an apology, if someone's wronged me, I expect an apology in return. So, of course, this was one of the questions that I wanted to ask to get other people's perspective on.
Do you find yourself needing others who have wronged you to apologize to you?
When someone's truly wronged me, yeah, I would like them to apologize. Until they apologize, the relationship that you had before doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It destroys it. And to point out to someone, hey, what you did hurt my feelings, and they can't apologize for it, I don't think I can associate with them anymore.
Really? It's pretty devastating.
It depends on the severity of how I was wronged. If it's something minor, I might let it go. But if they can't apologize for the small things, then when something big happens, they won't apologize either. And the relationship changes at that point.
Do you need others who have wronged you to apologize?
Most of the time. But, Bull, if I didn't do anything and they come and attack me and they don't ever apologize, it's kind of like, what? You know, what's going on? Because I would like an apology. That really hurt my feelings. I mean, then your level of trust in that person kind of goes down until they apologize. And, you know, well, they're trustworthy. If they do something wrong, they'll acknowledge it and they will say they're sorry. And then that way I can forgive them and the trust will be restored. But if they don't ever come to apologize, how am I supposed to trust that person again?
But is it in your experience where it's pretty rare that people apologize? Because it's in my experience that it's pretty rare that you get someone that offers up a sincere apology.
And when they do, it's very heartwarming.
Oh, it's life-changing, but isn't it pretty rare? Isn't most of the time people hurt you and then not do anything about it?
Yeah, but saying that, and I guess in some ways makes me a hypocrite because I'm probably one of those people that doesn't always apologize.
But so when someone's hurt you, you do feel like you need or deserve an apology?
Deserve. I don't need one, but I feel like I deserve one at least.
You know, when I was trying to gather more perspectives and potentially get a few more interviews that I could use for this podcast, I had thrown these same questions out to the rest of the guys on Infants on Thrones.
Do I find it easy or difficult to admit fault and apologize? It's hard for me to say I'm sorry. I find it very easy. In fact, I find it quite empowering. It kind of disarms other people when you are quick to admit responsibility for something. And that you've recognized your role in it. I don't know. To me, it's a sign of maturity. It's not anything to hide away from. And I've had quite a bit of success with that approach on it. So, I find it very easy to admit fault and to apologize and work on improving.
Hey, Glenn, do you need others to apologize to you?
No, not really. It's nice if they do, but I don't think so. I don't really even know what that means, to be honest. Like, what need them for what? Or, you know, like what would I do if they don't? I don't know how I would act any differently if they did or they didn't.
Oh, geez. Sorry for asking such a hardball question there, Dwayne. Okay. So I'll admit, I've been pretty naive when it comes to what I should expect from others who have wronged me. I have been working on this and finding some success in changing this behavior. So now I understand that I shouldn't always expect an apology, but in some situations I don't know if that'll ever fully change for me. So let's take a few minutes here and talk about apologies in general. There's quite the public forum for apologies. There's lots of celebrities and public figures that have apologized for some of the wrongs that they've performed. So I wanted to take a few minutes and kind of map out what an apology should be, what's an effective apology, what's an insincere apology, what's a non-apology, and what I'll do is I'll share some examples in the hopes that maybe all of us will be able to walk away from this podcast a little more educated and a little more wise in our approaches and the way we think and respond and act out our own apologies. So let's talk about the sincere and genuine apology. This can come in many different forms, but when it's delivered effectively, it can have very powerful results. This next clip is going to feature Marion Jones Thompson, who's a track and field athlete for Team USA during the Summer Olympics of 2000. She was caught using a banned substance and was also caught for lying to federal prosecutors during their investigation.
And so it is with a great amount of shame that I stand before you and tell you that I have betrayed your trust. I want all of you to know that today I pled guilty to 2 counts of making false statements to federal agents. Making these false statements to federal agents was an incredibly stupid thing for me to do. And I am responsible fully for my actions. I have no one to blame but myself for what I have done. To you, my fans, including my young supporters, the United States Track and Field Association, my closest friends, my attorneys, and the most classy family a person could ever hope for, namely my mother, my husband, my children, my brother and his family, my uncle, and the rest of my extended family, I want you to know that I have been dishonest. And you have the right to be angry with me. I have let them down, I have let my country down, and I have let myself down. I recognize that by saying that I'm deeply sorry, it might not be enough and sufficient to address the pain and the hurt that I've caused you. Therefore, I want to ask for your forgiveness for my actions, and I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me.
Did you notice how she'd taken full responsibility of her actions upon her own shoulders, and that she put herself in a very vulnerable position in order to do that? You know, it's this kind of format and structure of an apology that I think that should be held up as an example for those of us that are looking for ways and methods to actually offer a sincere and efficient apology. In March of 2012, Rachel Maddow shared this story about a columnist who had insulted her and quickly apologized and took her to lunch, and she shared that story on her show.
That's me and conservative columnist Cal Thomas, who I met today in person for the first time. We had a really nice lunch. And I feel okay talking about this publicly because Mr. Thomas wrote a column about the fact that we were going to do this, so everybody who cares about us having lunch knows about it already. The reason we met today is because Mr. Thomas made a comment about me at CPAC this year, an insulting comment, and he felt bad about it once he said it. He called me the following morning and he apologized to me. His apology was really contrite and really kind. He then went a step further and wrote about it publicly, apologizing again in print in an unqualified, totally sincere way. He said, quote, "I had embarrassed myself and was a bad example to those who read my column and expect better from me." An apology like that is a really easy apology to accept. I mean, if you believe that people screw up and that apologizing is the right way to deal with a screw up, then it's very simple. When you are confronted with a sincere, uncomplicated apology, it is the easiest thing in the world to accept that. A good apology, a real apology, essentially erases the mistake. I mean, you don't forget it happened, but you really do forgive it. It's not hard. You move on. You learn from the experience. And you sometimes get a nice lunch with a big, tall conservative guy who turns out to be very nice and very funny. Anyway, a sincere apology, I have always felt, is like magic. It really does make bad things go away.
And the next apology that I'd like to address is the insincere or sarcastic apology. I don't think we need to spend too much time on what this is, because I think we all know what it is. When someone who technically apologizes, but doesn't actually mean a single word of it. And this often causes more harm than if no apology was actually offered. Again, from the Rachel Maddow Show, after she finished sharing her story about being on the receiving end of that sincere apology and how she had accepted it, she then went on to explain a little bit about insincere apologies and used political talk show host Rush Limbaugh as an example of that. Now, as any of you that know me, I don't like politics at all. I don't like to really talk about it. It's just not a topic of interest to me. So I don't personally stand on the left or the right. I more stand on the I don't really care what's going on side. So I don't want anybody to think that, you know, I'm trying to tout one side or the other. I'm just trying to focus on the act of apologizing in this discussion, politics aside.
An insincere apology or a bad apology does not work the same kind of magic, which is why conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh is still in the news today, still losing major advertisers, at least 9 at last count. And today, for the first time, losing radio stations that carried his program. All this is part of the continuing fallout from Mr. Limbaugh attacking a Georgetown University law student as a slut and a prostitute and somebody who ought to put her sex tapes online. Someone who only advocated for insurance coverage for contraception because she was a morally despicable person and a shame to her family. Mr. Limbaugh made those attacks over 3 consecutive days during his show last week. Then over the weekend, he issued a statement which did have the word apologize in it, but which also said that he was just trying to make a joke and that people were wrong to care about what he said in the first place and that it wasn't meant as a personal attack. And he said that his overall argument, frankly, was still true. Mr. Limbaugh then went back on the radio again today and said that the only reason he attacked this law student in the first place is because he was possessed by the left, that the values of the American left wing were what made him say these awful things. And furthermore, the only thing he really apologized for were 2 specific words, the words slut and prostitute, words that he used against that law student. He presumably meant all the rest of it. When you apologize like that, there's no magic. Nothing gets better.
So here's a clip of Mike Tyson explaining to Oprah on The Oprah Show about offering an apology to Evander Holyfield after he had bit his ear in a boxing match.
Because you bit him twice, once in each ear.
Yeah, I didn't feel guilty at all.
You didn't feel guilty?
No, I didn't feel guilty at the time.
Did you ever feel remorse for it?
Well, you know, I apologized to him. And
when you apologized, did you feel the apology?
No, I did not. No, it wasn't sincere. It wasn't sincere and stuff.
Thank you for saying that, because when I heard it, I didn't think it was.
No, it wasn't sincere.
Yeah. You know, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who's openly admitted to offering an insincere apology like that, like what Mike Tyson just did. Okay, the next one I want to talk about is the non-apology. A non-apology apology is a statement that has the form of an apology, but does not express the expected contrition. It is common in both politics and public relations. It most commonly entails the speaker saying that he or she is sorry not for a behavior statement or misdeed, but rather is sorry only because a person who has been aggrieved is requesting the apology, expressing a grievance, or is threatening some sort of retribution or retaliation. An example of a non-apology apology would be saying, "I'm sorry that you feel that way," to someone who has been offended by a certain statement. This kind of apology does not admit that there was anything wrong with the remarks made, and additionally, it may be taken as insinuating that the person taking offense was excessively thin-skinned or irrational in taking offense at the remarks in the first place. Statements that use the word sorry but do not express responsibility for the wrongdoing may be meaningful expressions of regret, but such statements can also be used to elicit forgiveness without acknowledging fault. As I was researching what a non-apology actually was, I started to realize that, yeah, I've heard it many, many times before, from personal interactions to celebrity and public figures, and I never really realized what it actually was. So here's a few classic examples of what a non-apology is, so you kind of have the heads up. For example, if someone said, "I'm sorry that you feel that way," "I'm sorry if I hurt you," "I'm sorry, but I was just trying to help," "I'm sorry if I hurt anyone," and "I'm sorry if you were offended by what I did or what I said." This is a great example of what a non-apology sounds like. This is Missouri Representative Todd Akin on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos, explaining his highly offensive legitimate rape comments.
Well, first of all, let me say that legitimate, the word legitimate, doesn't ever have a good reason to be standing next to rape. There is no rape that is legitimate. And I understand that rape is a terrible and a tragic and a violent crime. And that's why I have apologized for using that word legitimate, because it doesn't belong there. And I also know that I hurt people. And the first thing that I felt was right to do was to apologize. But I'm not apologizing for the fact that I'm pro-life, and that I also believe that it's important to defend the helpless and the unborn.
But then, are you trying to say that if you just took out the word legitimate there, and if it was just, if it's a rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down, that then the sentence would be true?
No, I was medically wrong. I understand that pregnancy can result from rape, and those are terrible circumstances, very difficult circumstances.
Did you notice how every time he started to apologize, he had to throw a caveat in there that, oh, but I'm pro-life, or that I had offended people that I didn't mean to offend. This kind of an apology was deeply offensive, and I think in a lot of ways it probably just did a lot more harm than it did good. So what are some of the elements that are required for an effective apology? Ari Cohen, a professor of political science at the University of Nebraska, says this, quote, "One of the most powerful gestures an individual can make toward another, a sincere apology combines two of humanity's most ennobling attributes, conscience and accountability. A proper apology, one that is timely, that recognizes the harm one has done to another and that doesn't attempt to excuse or explain it away, can repair a relationship that might otherwise be irreparably damaged or destroyed," end quote. So what about the Mormon Church in all this? Well, there aren't a lot of instances where the LDS Church has officially apologized, but there are a few that could be interpreted as an apology. One of the more recent ones that I recall is the one issued by President Henry B. Eyring of the First Presidency of the LDS Church back in 2007. He was speaking on behalf of the church regarding the Mountain Meadows Massacre, and he said this.
"What was done here long ago by members of our church represents a terrible and inexcusable departure from Christian teaching and conduct. We cannot change what happened, but we can remember and honor those who were killed here. We express profound regret for the massacre carried out in this valley 150 years ago today, and for the undue and untold suffering experienced by the victims then and by their relatives to the present time. A separate expression of regret is owed to the Paiute people who have unjustly borne for too long the principal blame for what occurred during the massacre. Although the extent of their involvement is disputed, it is believed that they would not have participated without the direction and stimulus provided by local church leaders and members."
Then more recently, the LDS Church offered an apology of sorts when members of the church were still baptizing deceased Jews. The LDS Church put an official stop to performing baptisms of those with Jewish ancestry back in September of 2010. But that didn't seem to stop some of the members of the church to continue the banned practice. The Jewish community got wind of this, and they contacted the LDS Church immediately and immediately put a stop to it. Quoting from the Salt Lake Tribune from February 13, 2012, quote, "LDS officials in Salt Lake City were quick to apologize Monday, saying that the Utah-based faith sincerely regrets that the actions of an individual member led to the inappropriate submission of these names, which were clearly against the policy of the church. We consider this a serious breach of our protocol," spokesperson Scott Trotter said in a statement, "and we have suspended indefinitely this person's ability to access our genealogy records." There still has yet to be any sort of an apology from the church about the ban on blacks in the priesthood, as well as no apology concerning the Prop 8 debacle. And I'm not exactly sure we ever will get an apology from the church in that regard. And even if they did offer up an apology about Prop 8 or the blacks in the priesthood, would we get an honest and genuine sincere apology? Or maybe would we just get a non-apology? So during this process of putting this podcast together, what I've learned is that, one, that most of us don't take advantage of that opportunity to apologize, and to apologize sincerely and with meaning, you know, a sincere, heartfelt apology. It's not just the words that you use, but it's the tone and it's the way you present yourself when you apologize that really makes the impact. Because I think that the majority of us out there are wanting to forgive, that are wanting to accept an apology and to repair those damaged friendships, those damaged relationships, and to move on. There's too many bad feelings out there that need to be repaired. There's too many broken relationships. There's too many broken friendships that could so easily be repaired if it weren't for those simple missing words, "I'm sorry." So if we've learned anything during this podcast, I hope that we've learned that we should not ignore those opportunities when they present themselves. We should take full advantage of the opportunities to apologize timely, to apologize sincerely, and to really mean it, because that will make all the difference. So in conclusion, I thought it'd be most appropriate to play some of the more recognizable, more famous apologies from some public figures, celebrities, politicians, and the like. And I thought that'd be a good way to wrap this podcast up. So, anyone for the closing prayer?
All right, I apologize.
You're really sorry.
I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly.
You take it back?
I do. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family.
2006, 2 years ago, I made a very serious mistake.
First, let me say I take full responsibility for my own actions and for those of my administration. As angry as I may be about activities undertaken without my knowledge, I am still accountable for those activities. As disappointed as I may be in some who served me, I am still the one who must answer to the American people for this behavior. And as personally distasteful as I find secret bank accounts and diverted funds, and as the Navy would say, this happened on my watch.
And so I want to apologize to my staff, and I want to apologize to anybody who lives in South Carolina for the way that I let them down on that front.
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport. I did nothing wrong, and I regret the decision to plead guilty and the sadness that decision has brought on my wife, my family, friends, staff, and fellow Idahoans. And for that, I apologize.
I lost my temper on stage. I was at a comedy club trying to do my act, and I got heckled, and I took it badly and went in with a rage. And said some pretty nasty things to some Afro-Americans. A lot of trash talk. And
stop laughing. Not funny.
My wife, Regina, she has been horribly hurt by my behavior. And when something happens like that, if you hurt a person, then it's your responsibility. You try to fix it. And at that point, there's only two things that can happen. Either you're going to make some progress and get it fixed, or you're going to fall short and perhaps not get it fixed. So let me tell you, folks, I get my work cut out for me.
To every New Yorker and to all those who believed in what I tried to stand for, I sincerely apologize.
I have sinned against you. And I beg your forgiveness.
What now? What exactly happened?
I thought I was doing my part to save the economy, and then later I got to think, maybe I'm just not important enough.
Can I give you an answer?
Please.
I screwed up.
Well,
I did not, in the first place, commit the crime of obstruction of justice, because I did not have the motive required for the commission.
We've had our discussion on that. The lawyers can argue that.
I did not commit, in my view, an impeachable offense.
I did take a banned substance, and you know, for that, I'm very sorry. I just feel that No, I'm just sorry.
The Iraqis who were mistreated by members of the U.S. Armed Forces, I offer my deepest apology.
I feel really bad for Nancy, and I feel really lucky that it wasn't me.
Hi, I'm Chris Brown. Since February, my attorney has advised me not to speak out, even though ever since the incident, I wanted to publicly express my deepest regret and accept full responsibility. Although I would do some interviews and answer some questions in the future, I felt it was time that you heard directly from me that I am sorry. I have tried to live my life in a way which can make those around me proud of me, and until recently, I think I was doing a pretty good job. I wish I had the chance to live those few moments again, but unfortunately I can't.
I apologize to the president. I've apologized to everyone that, with, in the sound of my voice, that I could have used a better choice of word.
Somebody has called me ignorant for what I said on Tuesday, and I think that's a pretty good description of my what I said.
Bob Van Winkle here. You might know me better as Vanilla Ice. I'm sorry for the hairdos, baggy pants, the scandals, the lies, the gangs, and sorry about the music.
I apologize to everybody in Major League Baseball. My family, the Narises, Bud Selig, they was the hardest day of my life.
And now, Tom apologizes for making you listen to something that he's not completely sure about.
Yeah, he actually wanted to lead with this.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Infants on Thrones. My name is Tom Perry, and this particular episode is kind of a lost episode. It was deleted, or shelved, as I should say, because obviously it wasn't deleted. I'm resurrecting it here and now, but when I looked at this particular file, the last time that I had modified it was in January of 2013. So, yeah, it's like 4+ years old. So, a little background on this episode. It was the beginning of a series that I wanted to do on apologies, forgiveness, and grudges. And I had pretty much put this episode together, although it's very dated, and you'll know why when you listen to it. But I also started to work on the forgiveness episodes as well at the same time. And when I constructed this one, and I wasn't exactly happy with how it turned out. Well, actually, I wasn't happy with it at all. There's a few bright spots in it, but I'll let you guys decide. But the forgiveness episode, I was in the middle of when I had pretty much finished this, sent it to the group for, you know, some feedback and whatever, and it was coming back in mostly negative. And I kind of felt that way too, and so I shelved it. I actually deleted the master file because I wanted to get into this file and really edit it and try to fix it as much as I could. But this quote finished episode is all I had left. So I'm just going to run with it and see. And just let you guys know that this was a previously unreleased episode. It was never meant to go out. I listened back to it. I didn't quite hate it as much as I thought I would. I mean, there were some parts of it that I was like, what am I doing there? And I don't particularly like the music and behind me and stuff like that. That seems kind of like I was trying too hard, but whatever. Everybody has their own subjective taste to it, right? But Glenn and a few other guys suggested that I resurrect this thing, and I thought long and hard about it, and I thought that I do want to resurrect it, so I feel good about that. And so here you go. And this will be what once was an episode that got shelved, and now you get to listen to it. So if you have any negative comments about the content, believe me, I hear you. Hey, you know what? Tell you what. Put in the comments if you think that it shouldn't have been released. If you agreed with me there. Does that sound fair? That sounds fair to me, because this was in my opinion, it was kind of a failed experiment prototype. But I actually think that we've released much bigger duds than even this one. So that's why I'm going to let it go. I'm going to stop thinking about it, and I'm just going to push it out. And mostly because I really wanted to sink my teeth into the forgiveness episode or two. I don't know. It depends on how it goes. Because I do think that the forgiveness ones are going to be much better, and I think you guys will enjoy them. So anyway, without any further ado, hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this thing that it's not that good. I don't know. I mean, I was going to do it, and I decided not to. I was going to delete it. And I don't know. Like, you guys tell me if it's good or not. Okay, Tom, love you, man. Love you. And listeners, please let Tom know that you love him. Let's make this a Tinkerbell moment. Everybody, tell Tom how much you love and appreciate him. We love you, Tom. We love you. We love you, Tom. Tom, we believe in you. We love you, Tom. Tom, love you, Tom.
Hi, this is Sam from Wilmer, Minnesota. On weekdays, I prosecute criminals for crimes like domestic abuse, production of methamphetamine, and sexual assault. On Sundays, I learn about the things that are truly evil in this world, like gay people getting married, consumption of coffee, and bare shoulders. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com, and if you really like what you hear, you can give the Korma 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.